God's word today. We will turn to John chapter 5, verses 39 to 40. You diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. And then we will turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 17. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Amen. God is the God of revelation. God is the God of revelation. God is the God of revelation. By his way and in his time, he reveals himself. And it says, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them, as it says in Romans chapter 1, verse 19. So he will allow one who lives according to scriptures to receive eternal life. Say amen if you want eternal life. Since we know that we are souls, we know how important eternal life is. Faith is to know that I am a soul, that I am a man of God. To know that I am a soul, I am a man of God. Therefore, the Bible is a necessity for such man, since the Bible is the book that contains the Word of God. Therefore, if one knows that he is a soul, that he is a man of God, then he knows that he has an inseparable relationship with the Bible, and it is until one's very last breath they cling on to the Bible for the eternal life of the soul. So for eternal life, for the soul to receive eternal life, we live a life according to the Word, according to the Bible, and this is what faith life is. Today I will be speaking of I, the soul, and the Bible. Say amen if you believe you are a soul. Such a person, how should they read the Bible and how should they approach it? What type of relationship ought we to make with the Bible? There are innumerable books in the world, as many as the stars in the sky. And there's such a variety of books, and they all have authors or writers. Even if the name of the author is unknown, they put down anonymous or unknown author, as there was an author. And the contents of these books may be regarding the history of the world or the nation, the principles of the human life, or about life's wisdoms. And the more one reads such books, they become very knowledgeable and educated. And when one is knowledgeable, such people are respected by others. And so they can live a happy, comfortable life in this world. One who has read many books, with the knowledge they have gained, they use that for their careers and occupation and live a successful life. And there weren't so much back in the day, but these days I heard there was a young man who read 3,000 books in 3 years. And he is still young, but he is so well versed and so eloquent and articulate in his speech due to all the books he read, the knowledge that he gained, and so he's very popular and well-liked. However, the Bible that we have and that we believe, this is the Holy Bible, and it is different than any other book in the world. The Bible contains 66 books, and they are written by different men living in different eras. So there are so the Bible has no author, but dozens of reporters. So the Bible doesn't have a human author, but they are written and recorded by various recorders who wrote by the inspiration of God, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So as we read in the opening passage, it is God breathed. The scriptures are God breathed. So they write down what they have seen, what they have heard and experienced. And this is all by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. These are facts written down and recorded by such men in history. The Old Testament was written over approximately 1,500 years, along with the New Testament, 100 years. And so combined, it's about 1,006 years total. So though the content is from the beginning in eternity, the actual time that it was written by these recorders was around 1,600 years. And the Bible, if you were to pinpoint one message, it is about Yeshua. The Bible is written about Yeshua. In the past, the elders described this book as the book of Jesus. So why did they write about Jesus? Why is Jesus the focus of the Bible, and why must we know this? Jesus, he said, "If you really know me, you will know my Father as well." John chapter 14, verse 7 says, "If you know me, you will know the Father God." So you must know Jesus in order to know God, and that is why we read the Bible. So that through the Bible we know who Jesus is. Is what's written in the Bible fact or fiction? What is the validity of the Bible? The Bible, there is no original document of it, whether the Old Testament or New Testament, but there are copies of the Bible. So though there is no original document, but there are many copies of the Bible, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, there were men who wrote and recorded such events in the Bible. So how can we believe in these copies of the Bible? And the reason why we can believe is that though it was written by many men in different eras, in different times, the content that are written are stories, which aren't very difficult as long as they remembered it correctly and wrote it down as is, recorded as is. And the focal point in each and every story, there is a common theme that hasn't been changed or altered. And even this day, after thousands of years, there are believers who live and believe the Bible. And they live according to the Bible and the words written in it and experience it this day. Therefore, this validates the Bible is true and that there are facts written here and actual events written here. So let all of us be able to experience the promises written in the Bible so that through them we can be witnesses of Jesus and experience in our lives the validity of the Bible and what's written in here are facts. So the Old Testament is what Jehovah God spoke to the Israelites. So when we turn to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, "In the past God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways." So at many times and in various ways, God spoke to our ancestors and forefathers. So at many times and in various ways, whether through dreams or voices or various events, to reveal that only God alone can do such things. So in these ways, he spoke to our ancestors. And then when we continue, "But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son." So these days, the Jews, they focus on the Torah, also called the Pentateuch, or the five books of Moses, and it consists of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. These are the first five books they focus on. and is the Hebrew Bible. And from a young age to the child, they are taught this first, that there is no other God than Jehovah God. And this is instilled in them from very young. And so this was ingrained in them. So these days, there are animations for children, and there are various educational shows so that children can learn. But in the time of the children back in the days, as soon as they were able to read and write, they were taught the five books of Moses, these five books. And they were to memorize it. In order to become a Pharisee or scribe, they had to memorize each and every word. Not only read, but memorize. And if they even got a single word wrong, they were to re-memorize it. And there is also the Talmud, which means to learn. And we can think of it as a book of the crimes and sins committed and its consequences. So it is a compilation about the laws. And there are examples written in there. And it is a book of wisdom, of how they ought to live their lives and how to receive blessings and not curses. And these are the books that they focus on. And they were all an accumulation, a collection of experiences and what their ancestors and forefathers experienced through history. And night and day, they would memorize it, they would discuss it, they would memorize the Torah, and they would discuss it with one another and have Havruta. Then in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 3 to 4, it says, "Hear Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you. To listen to Jehovah and listen to his words and act accordingly." If they listened to the words in the Bible and they obeyed, then they were promised a good and prosperous life in the land that God had promised them, that they would increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. So if they followed what they were taught, then they'd be promised these physical blessings. And we know this day that it is being fulfilled. As we see, the Jewish community is very influential in many aspects of society, whether it be in the gold industry, the education systems, the science, arts and entertainment, and even IT, information technology. The Jewish communities have a hold on such fields and organizations. And we see this as a result of how they were taught and what they were promised. So we see their multiplication and success, for they live according to the words of the Old Testament. And we see this day, the Old Testament and the Jewish community. And though many were persecuted and died, we see this day they have a strong impact on many aspects of society. And we see through this that the words of God in the Old Testament are being fulfilled, for God is the God of the flesh, and we see his blessings continue. After many years passed, Jesus Christ appeared. Where did he appear? He appeared before the temple, and he said, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." The words were in the temple, the plan, but Jesus said to destroy it, and this was a blasphemous statement. But not only did he say that, he also said that he would raise it again in 3 days, and this caused even more hatred towards him. He said to destroy this temple, as the words of Moses, the law of Moses, these were the elementary teachings, and that they were only led by tutors. So elementary teachings and tutor. The Jews were very proud of receiving the word of God, but Jesus said to destroy the temple, for the elementary teachings given by Moses were elementary and only led by tutors. It says, therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ. But Jesus had come, and who is he? He is the Son of God who had come, Son of God. And what did he do? His words. If they believed in his words, so he emphasized his words, for the words of the Son are the words of truth. It is truth. The words of the Son equals truth. They are not elementary teachings, but advanced teachings, for it is the truth that he spoke. So no longer would it be the words of Moses, but the words of the Son, the words of truth. On the Mount of Transfiguration, there was Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. And then Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. But Moses and Elijah disappeared. Then God said, this is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. So listen to the words of the Son. Then the Bible records that he started his public ministry, and the moment he did so, the devil did his work and tried to tempt him. Jesus, he fasted for 40 days, and because he was in the flesh, he did experience pain and starvation, and it was during this time when the devil came to tempt him and question if he was the Son of God. Okay, if you are the Son of God, then turn these stones to bread. What did Jesus say? Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. But before that, before he said that, he said, it is written, according to the word of God, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. It is written, meaning what was written in the Old Testament. So Jesus wasn't tempted, and the devil said to throw himself off the cliff. But Jesus said, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Then the devil tried to tempt him again by saying that he'd give him splendors and riches if he will bow down and worship him. And Jesus replied once again, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. So Jesus already knew the devil would come to tempt him, for he knew everything. Though Jesus was at his lowest point in terms of his flesh, he wasn't tempted and didn't fall, for he said, it is written, according to scripture, according to the word of God. So how was Jesus able to overcome? Who is he? Who is he? He is the Word in the beginning, Yeshua. The Word in the beginning. And the Word was God. And what God? The God of revelation. In the beginning, he had a plan to reveal himself, and he is the Word. Inside of him are all the written scriptures. So I asked last time, do you think Jesus read the Bible? And if he also fought off his drowsiness and read the Bible like us. But he, in essence, is the Word. Anyone who saw Prison Break, no one saw it. I even told my regional group leaders, as this message was very biblical. It is so accurately biblical, I was quite shocked. So in order to save his brother who was unjustly put in prison, he tattooed the schematics of the prison on his body. For he was the architect and designer and knew the sewage system and how to get out. Just like that, God, as the perfect designer, created the universe, and he has the blueprints and all scripture inside of him. This is all inside of him. But do you think I'm saying that Jesus had tattoos on his body? That's not what I'm saying. But as an analogy, the word became flesh. He had a plan to reveal himself, and this will of God, he carried it out. The plan that he set in eternity, he carried it out. He came to reveal himself through the word, through Jesus. He came to reveal God. On the Mount of Transfiguration, that is why God's voice from heaven said, "Listen to him, listen to the Son, for the Son is the Word. And if you do according to what he says, you know the will of the Father." If you know Jesus and you know God, then what do you gain? The Bible is written about him. It testifies about him. And the reason why we study the scripture is for eternal life. For eternal life. Say amen if you want eternal life. Why do we need eternal life? Because we want to live long? Is that it? If we receive eternal life, then we can escape the fires of hell and live with God in heaven forever and ever. So it is to not go to hell and live like God in joy and glory forever and ever is what eternal life is. So eternal life through the Bible, and the Bible is about Jesus. So, eternal life, Bible, Jesus. Repeat, eternal life, Bible, Jesus. Eternal life, Bible, Jesus. So, in order to receive eternal life, you have to know who Jesus is and know why Jesus came and what he came to do, and we can know through the Bible. Amen. I am a soul. So he came to this world, and what do you have to grasp? What do you have to grasp? The Bible. You have to take hold of it, amen, so you can receive eternal life, amen. So that is why Jesus emphasized the importance of the Bible and what he said. John chapter 10, verse 13. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. So it is to know God and to know Jesus, and knowing them as one, as synonymous, that Creator God and Jesus whom he sent are one. So then John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus answered, verse 6, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." He says, "Show us the Father, and that will be enough." And Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves." So earlier in the chapter, he said the eternal life that they want so dearly, that when he prepares the rooms for them, he will come back to take them there. And Jesus also said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And after he said that, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. That anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. So this is the triune God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one God. In order to receive eternal life, you have to believe they are one. They are three persons, but one God. So there's no more explanation that we need, for no man can possess such attributes of God. For God is three persons with three roles, but he is one God. And we have to know this in order to receive eternal life. That he is one God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one, and we know this so we can receive eternal life. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the Creator God. So, is Creator God and Jesus separate? No. In John chapter 1, let us check with our own eyes. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. So all things, all creation, were made by the Word. In verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So who created all things? It is God, the Creator, who made all things. And here it says the Son, the Word, the Son created. So various places in the Bible accentuates that God is one. Amen? So we truly have to know who God is. We have to know who Jesus is. Amen? And when you know Jesus, you can receive eternal life. So there are many theologians who teach that the Father and the Son are different. And that's false and a deception. For the Son is God. Jesus is God. And the Son is the Father. In the beginning, he is the Word who came in the flesh. He was mocked and flogged, and even when he died, he was still God. And after he resurrected, he entered the Father's house in heaven, and this testifies that he is God. The event of the resurrection testifies that he himself is God. And it's through the scripture, the Bible, that we can receive eternal life. So from his birth, his life, his works, the miracles, everything, they are all written in the Bible. So even his birth, it's recorded in the Bible that he was conceived through the Virgin Mary by the Holy Spirit. All the events, they were written and recorded. And as it was written, everything was fulfilled. And as it was written, he came back. And even Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus, it was all according to what was written. Everything according to what was written in order to fulfill the scriptures. So as he did all things, he said again and again, the scriptures might be fulfilled. And as he died on the cross, he said, it is finished. What did he finish? What did he finish? According to the Bible, according to what was written, he was crucified in order to testify about the scripture, so that scriptures might be fulfilled. And John chapter 19, verse 28. Chapter 19, verse 28. Later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. So when Jesus died, right before his death. He said, I am thirsty. Do you think he was actually thirsty? The criminals next to him didn't say they were thirsty. I'm sure if they said it, it would have been recorded and written down. But Jesus said, I am thirsty. So some may ask, why did he have to say, I am thirsty? Even the thieves didn't say that. It says here, it's so that scripture would be fulfilled. So that the scripture would be fulfilled. This was already prophesied and written about in the Old Testament. So that it be fulfilled in order to validate the Bible and what was written. That these are accurate for the scripture to be fulfilled. That is why Jesus said this. So just like a seal, there were the certification seals back in the back of the textbooks to show that it was authentic. So just like that, Jesus said, I am thirsty, so the scriptures would be fulfilled. Then he said, it is finished. It is finished. Then the thieves who were next to him, their legs were broken, but they didn't break Jesus's legs. So they broke the legs of the criminals, but not Jesus's. And why was that? Their legs were broken to confirm death, but Jesus's legs were not, in order to fulfill scripture that was written. And this is mentioned in John chapter 19, verse 36. These things happened so that the scripture would be fulfilled. So Jesus, he did all things so scripture would be fulfilled. And that is why he said it is finished. As he died, he committed his spirit to the Father. For the Father, in the beginning, in John chapter 1, verse 1, as he planned, as he was the Word, all the scripture written on and in his body, he completed and fulfilled all. That is why he said it is finished. It was all planned, and he was the Word in the beginning. Amen. Through his death, he condemned the devil who disobeyed the word of God, and also with his death, according to what was written in the Bible, he died for our sins, according to the scriptures, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3. He shed his blood and redeemed all mankind. Shedding his blood was also to fulfill scripture so that all who believe can receive forgiveness of sins and receive eternal life. Hallelujah. In 3 days, he resurrected, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So in order to know and believe the Bible, we have to have a clear understanding, because it is through the Bible we can know who Jesus is, and we can have, and so we have to be alert and awake when reading the Bible. So verse 3, for what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. So the life of Jesus and his resurrection, his death and resurrection, was all according to the scriptures, so that it would be fulfilled. According to scripture, he was raised back to life. So everything written in the Old Testament was for Jesus to fulfill. And he fulfilled each and every single one. And as he promised and said, he appeared before his disciples. So the New Testament starts with what Jesus spoke. And so in some views, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, in some respects, can be considered part of the Old Testament. Because it is afterwards that Jesus Christ appears and speaks as the Son and starts a public ministry. So there are some views on that. But Jesus, according to the scriptures, he was raised back to life on the third day, and he revealed this to the disciples and has now ascended to heaven and sits on the throne as the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. He bears the marks of being slain on his body to testify that everything occurred according to the Bible, that everything occurred according to the scripture. And soon after, he sent the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit came just like it was written in the Bible. In John chapter 7, verse 38, it says, "Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." So this was all according to scriptures. So the Holy Spirit and Bible. So the Holy Spirit and Bible. Without receiving the Holy Spirit, there are so many Bibles in the world today. So many interpretations, and we can't even distinguish if it is true or false, as there are so many different versions of the Bible and so many translations of it. But in order to truly distinguish what is the truth, is by the Holy Spirit. And that is why we need to receive the Holy Spirit. For the Bible was written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So without the Holy Spirit, we cannot accurately understand the Bible. Do you understand what I'm saying? So we cannot accurately understand what is written in the Bible without the help of the Holy Spirit. So we do not try to interpret or depict in our own ways, for this can lead to false interpretations and teachings. It is only by the Holy Spirit that we can understand the Bible. Amen. When we believe and when we pray and are filled with the Holy Spirit, then we can know what is written here in the Bible. Let's say you have a white sheet of blank paper and you have a white candle and you write with it. Do you think you can write? Yes. And do you think you can see and write something with that? Yes. If you write on a blank canvas, you can write on it. And if you write Jesus, you know what you wrote. But if you showed it to someone else, do you think they can read what you wrote with that candle? Do you think so? No. But there is a way to see it. How is that? If you submerge it in water. I suggest you try this at home. So when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you understand and can distinguish that the words in the Bible are true and what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you this day. Hallelujah, amen. From that time on, after they received the Holy Spirit, so before that, Peter was afraid of death, so he denied Jesus 3 times. But afterwards, he started evangelizing about Jesus. And when we read its contents, we say, wow. For he was so bold when he spoke. And what he preached was so strong and so knowledgeable. And it was just like, wow. At the time, they were astonished and they marveled. And that's the impression that he left. He was uneducated, but he was so powerful and strong in his speech because it's through the Holy Spirit and Bible he was able to do so. And he would say, repent, and he became a teacher suddenly. Also, Paul testified about Jesus Christ with the words written in the Bible, and all the Jews were filled with hatred. But before such men, he spoke what was written in the Bible and testified about Jesus. And even before such men, he preached and they were left speechless. I am a Christian. First, in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, it says, For they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day. So how must we approach the Bible? It is with earnest hearts, with eagerness. So when we approach the Bible, it is the word of God, and we receive the words with eagerness, with open hearts. You don't approach it trying to find mistakes or with cynical eyes, but with open and enthusiastic hearts, with readiness. With eagerness, with readiness, you open the Bible to receive his words. And when you hear and read about the events, you say amen. You say amen. You don't doubt and question how someone can walk on water or view it with the scientific ways of this world. You receive it with an amen. With an open heart, with eagerness, you receive it as daily bread. Amen. And then second, we possess the greatest and most advanced knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ. We have to be proud of that. I am an expert on Jesus. I have expertise on the most advanced knowledge. In front of any professor or person, we do not submit or feel intimidated. Rather, we ought to feel confident, for we possess the greatest knowledge. So I had a Bible study with a professor, and I preached to him about Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And he's never heard of anything like that, that God breathed into a man and he became a living being. He's never heard of this before. So I told him to read it again. Read it here. It's written in the Bible. So it is written in the Bible right here. So Shakespeare is very well known, and he used more than 20,000 words in his plays and poems. So in front of him, many may feel intimidated, for he is one of the greatest writers. However, the Bible contains approximately 783,137 words. So we know the Bible. So even more than Shakespeare, we read more words and we possess the most advanced knowledge, and it is contained in the Bible. And there are so many different types of animals mentioned in the Bible that not even the scientists know. So amen if you read that. You read it? So we possess the most advanced and noble and most excellent knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. So in front of anyone, we are not to feel intimidated or feel foolish, but be confident we know Jesus Christ and the Bible, and be bold and proud of possessing the advanced knowledge, the greatest knowledge, the most excellent knowledge. So we say, learn from me and listen to me. And third, we obey according to the Bible. So we read the Bible. We adapt to it and we apply it in our lives, meaning we obey what is written. So when we apply it in our lives, we use what is written in the name of Jesus. We pray in the name of Jesus. We cast out demons in his name. We apply this to our lives so that what is written in the Bible according to scripture, that it be fulfilled today in our lives. Amen. Have you had this experience? Raise your hand if you had such experience of scripture being fulfilled in your life. For these are facts written in the Bible, that if you have experienced in your life, then you are able to know and acknowledge and be proud that you have experienced the Bible and experienced the truth in your life. And so we are to testify about it. Amen. Hallelujah. So we are to never deny what is written in the Bible or make excuses saying that it was a mistake, even before death. Even if threatened with a sword, or even if you're on the brink of death. We ought to never deny the Bible. We ought to protect the Bible, and we hold on to the Bible, for we have experienced what is written here. That even before the sword, we confess that the Bible is the truth. And we ought to cling on to this, for we have experienced it in our lives. And for me, I am so afraid of pain, and martyrdom is so far from me. But I have experienced the truth in my life from being healed after 13 years of diseases. And I was healed through knowing the Bible. Hallelujah. So I am a witness. And fourth, the reason why we read the Bible is because it is through the Bible that we can be comforted and encouraged. The more you read the Bible, do you feel peace in your heart? When you read the books of the world, more worries come. But when we read the Bible, we have peace. Peace. Amen. Hallelujah. And when we have this peace in us, whatever the situation, we overcome and we can come out victorious. So the history of the Bible is a history of persecution. The Catholics, they translated the Bible in Latin. However, there were not many who could read this language, and they also banned it, and it was not available to the ordinary people. And only the clerics were able to read, the priests were able to read this Bible and interpret it in their own way. However, the lay people, the ordinary people, were not able to read the Bible, for they could not read Latin. And then during Martin Luther's time, he believed that the lay people should also be able to access the Bible as well, not only the clerics or the priests, that it should be available to all so they too can be saved. And then he said that the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel. And Luther wrote a thesis which many consider its publication as the beginning of the Protestant Reformation. Then afterwards, he translated the Bible into German, and eventually it was translated to English and many other languages, spreading throughout the whole world and now readily available. And every time the Bible was translated to a different language, there was always a time of persecution, oppression, and martyrdom. The King James Version, the KJV, the version of the Bible, was translated by William Tyndale. So William Tyndale, who was executed for this endeavor, even before the face of death, he said something to the effect that it's not a matter of my life and death, that it is my duty and mission to translate this Bible so it's accessible to those who can read it. And ultimately, he was executed. Then there's also John Wycliffe, who translated the Bible to English and was also persecuted for it. So translating this Bible was very risky, and many were persecuted and even put to death because of it. So this work of writing the Bible, translating and distributing it, countless people have died. And there was a missionary in Korea. A missionary who went to Korea in a ship. There were people, and there were Bibles that these people were bringing over. But they set the ship on fire, and in order to save the Bibles, they started throwing them into the sea. and many people have died. And even this day, even in recent history, we see many people risking their lives and losing their lives for the Bible. Though for us, we live a comfortable life and the Bible is readily available to us in some places in the country and in different times in history, many put their lives on the line for the Bible. And we see through such events the importance of the Bible and so many lives being lost for the Bible, so much blood being shed for the Bible. And what is this book? What is this book? For this book, for this Bible, many, countless people have died. What is this book, this Bible? Why are we sitting here this moment? Is it because I told you to come? No, that shouldn't be the reason. But the Bible told us to gather all the more as the day approaches, and that is why we came. If there was no Bible, if I hadn't read the Bible, I would not be standing here right now. Why would I be doing this? For what? Right now, we are comfortably gathering, but one day we may have to make a decision of life and death, and at that crossroad, would we defend this Bible and that it is the truth? Would we be able to die for that? If so, if we believe the Bible is inseparable from us, that this Bible, through many people and much blood, the Bible is here with us this day. So we are to hold on to this book, to cling on to this book, onto the words, and experience it working in our lives. And we ought to live according to it and must testify about it unto death. Amen. And when you die, what kind of impression do you want to leave behind? What kind of impression do you want to leave behind to your families? You say that your mother was a very good cook and very kind and gentle and such a good person with good character. That's all good. But more importantly, my mother, all she knew was the Bible. And she did exactly what was written in the Bible, and she was persecuted by her own husband and was criticized and mocked. And that's how she lived her life. What kind of impression do you want to leave behind? We ought to leave behind the impression of Jesus. To leave behind Jesus as our inheritance for the next generation, so that they do the same, so the souls of their families would receive eternal life, and that's the family you ought to be. Amen, hallelujah. Let us pray.